Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT podcast. I'm Alan Kenny, editorial director with NAREIT. Joining me on the phone is Michael Hudgens, managing director and global strategist with EII Capital Management. And Michael and I are going to discuss some of the big stories going on right now in the U.S. REIT markets. So let's go ahead and dive in. I want to ask you, starting off, Michael, I mean, we're coming off a really big year in 2014. I realize that, you know, we're almost halfway through the year now, but I'm wondering, given how strongly REITs performed a year ago, what kind of sentiment has that left among your clients right now, and how they view the REIT market?
No, great question. We've had a lot of cynicism. I would one way to characterize it. You know, after some really good years over the last, really since the downturn, followed by then, you know, 30% year up total return and 25% up price. I mean, people are asking, you know, can there be any more value in this sector? They've got to be expensive. And, you know, what's interesting is there's lots of reasons to suggest that's wrong. It's a wrong assessment. And first, you know, when I looked at the REITs at the end of 2013, started 2014, they were arguably cheap. And how do you argue for that, right? Because if you look at the NAV for premium, they were trading, U.S. REIT sector was trading at a premium to the underlying real estate. But something we've noted since really around 2012 was that core sectors, so apartments, industrial, office, and retail, are trading kind of around their NAV, sometimes a little expensive, sometimes cheap, whereas other sectors, specialty sectors, have been trading at significant premiums. And that's because they're being paid, actually, to issue equity and to buy properties accretively. So they're really being, I think, viewed not on NAV, but on earnings potential, earnings growth potential. So the core sectors, if you look at them, they are giving what I would, you know, what I call a good signal when you're thinking about the NAV. And what they signaled was that REITs were cheap. At the start of 2014, they were trading about 10% discounts on average to the value of the underlying real estate. These are the core sectors once again. You know, that could explain about 8% upside, right? Because the core sector is about 70% of the benchmark, depending on which one you're using. So that's 8% upside right there. And then, you know, REITs had another very, very good year in terms of dividend growth. And that's been really, for the last 5 years, they've been growing their dividends on average about 12%. We had another about 12% year, per our estimates, in 2014. That justifies appreciation. That's, you know, in line with that, assuming multiples stay about the same. So, you know, 12% plus 8%, you know, gives you about 20% price appreciation of 25 means, you know, really about 5% was explained by something like, you know, cap rate compression. And that's not very scary, actually, particularly given where 10 years have gone. And what's also I like to point out to investors is if you look at valuations now, the end of first quarter 2015, they're still not out of whack. You look at the dividend yield spreads, for instance, the 10-year, one way to think about REIT valuations, and they are wider at the end of first quarter 2015. They were wider than they were at the end of 2013 and the end of 2014. Core sectors remain about fair value compared to the underlying real estate, right? So they're not trading at premiums to that real estate. And what that means is I once again like to remind investors is just because you hit NAV doesn't mean that there's nothing for the next 12 months. What that means is you've paid up at a level that gets you what the real estate should provide in terms of return, right? Deliver the underwriting that you assume for that real estate. Right now, we think U.S. real estate, core property, high-quality property can deliver about 8% returns. If you look at the enterprise, meaning the REIT companies themselves, you know, it's somewhere between a 5 and 10% return for 2015, you know, obviously based on whether or not, you know, cap rates move up or down. So there's absolutely upside, and there's still upside now.
Again, talking with Michael Hudgens of EII Capital Management. Let's talk a little about the real estate cycle real quickly. In terms of demand for real estate right now, I mean, do you think that that's kind of still ramping up, or are we in a phase where demand might start winding down a little?
Yeah, so in terms of, two quick things. I talk about the real estate cycle and talk about demand. The real estate cycle is clearly linked to the economy. If you look at the correlation of NOI, so net operating income, the cash flow at the property level, strong correlations to real GDP and jobs. And at the beginning of a real estate cycle, you have cap rate compression where just like bonds yields come down because as debt gets increasingly inexpensive. And that's, you get some nice gains in terms of value there, but that's early cyclical, but as you move into the later or the mid or later parts of the cycle, your cash flow starts to grow. So in fact, the cash flow growth that investors can achieve with property is a late cyclical event, right? So that's good for investors because we're mid to late potentially, and so what that means is that you can see once again nice cash flow coming out of your property at this point in the cycle. You know, if GDP peters out, you know, there are people who wonder if given potentially this, you know, or particularly given the first quarter 2015 results for U.S. GDP, if GDP does peter out, then yeah, you know, maybe we are closer to the end of the cycle. But I don't think that's the expectation for most investors. I think most people are fading what happened in the first quarter, that, you know, that we this happened to us last year, the poor winter, happened again this year, and last year we had strong growth in the second half of the year, and we'll probably have it again this year. So I've seen work that suggests that the cycle could go on another 2.5 years, maybe even 4 years, which puts us somewhere, you know, the end of the cycle of 2018 or 2019. And moreover, you know, once again, with GDP growth doing poor in the first quarter, you see it ramping up. And what we've seen is that, once again, with the correlation between property cash flow and real GDP and job growth, if we see a ramp up, what do you know, you're most likely going to see an increase in cash flow growth at the property level, which translates into better performance for the U.S. REITs themselves. And in fact, we saw that last year. First quarter NOI wasn't very good for U.S. REITs, so still above average, if you look on a historic basis, above 3%, but it increased to over 4% by the end of the year. So I still, once again, believe that there's some really good days ahead of us for both the economy and therefore for real estate and the U.S. REITs who own that real estate.
You mentioned the broader economy and the good days ahead. I mean, look at the secular story. What are some of the key factors that you'll be looking at in terms of how that's going to influence the performance of the real estate market?
Oh, that's a great question. The U.S. secular story. So, you know, we as investors, we get so wrapped up in the day-to-day, you know, Alan. We sometimes forget to step back and just really carefully assess the state of our union. And when you do that, what you realize is, you know, we're not doing too badly, particularly compared to, you know, our peers, the other developed economies, you know, Japan and Europe, particularly, and even compared to some of the emerging markets who are right now struggling. But, you know, both on a secular and a cyclical basis, there's some things to get excited about for the U.S. economy. You know, one, the healthy demographics is one. Two, energy renaissance. And then you talk about the third, the manufacturing renaissance. And just to give you a quick data point on a few of those is, you know, on the demographics, what we're seeing is that the U.S. population is going to grow between 48 million between 2015 and 2035, next 20 years, right? Western Europe may add 4 million. Japan is going to shrink by about 10 million. All right. So, and our labor force is actually growing, which is a great input for the economy. On the energy, I'll just touch on that quickly. This is just, I think, really kind of impressive is that we have some of the largest technically recoverable shale gas resources around the globe. We're only second to China. But we're the only real economy that's done a great job in terms of getting it out of the ground, doing what's required. And then, you know, on the second, there's a stat here that shows that U.S. was the largest energy producer per 2014 data, the largest around the globe. And this was forecast to happen by 2020, but actually happened, you know, 2 years after, you know, the forecast was originally made in 2012. So we're ahead of schedule. That's impressive. What that does is, by the way, that creates jobs, that creates demand, that creates GDP growth, which, as I talked about, you know, as we've talked about before, real estate is the cash flow at the property level is correlated to GDP because there's more jobs, there's more demand, people need apartments, they need to go shopping, they go shopping, and they sit in offices. So this is just a great story for a country that, you know, continues to be strong versus the rest of the world, both I think on a secular and a cyclical basis, given that we have probably a good few years ahead of us. And you know, most importantly, REITs over the long term, the mid to long term, act like real estate. I'm convinced of that. I've got enough research that demonstrates that. So I'm convinced that they are a great way to access the real estate market in the U.S. in a liquid fashion and to tap directly into that U.S. story. And once again, you know, it's hard to do that with an equity allocation or a bond allocation, particularly since these equities are now globally diversified. But a real asset, a building, sits in a local market and responds to the economic prospects of that market. So once again, if you like the U.S. story, if you like the U.S., then you need to like U.S. real estate. If you want to tap into that U.S. story, you buy that real estate. And one way to do that quickly and simply and effectively is to invest in U.S. REITs.
Michael, interesting as always. Really appreciate you joining us today to talk about some of the big issues in the U.S. real estate market.
Well, thank you very much. I always like speaking with you, Alan, and hope to do it again.
All right. Sounds good. And thank you all for joining us, too. For the NAREIT podcast, I'm Alan Kenny.